So before I get into today's message, I want to give a quick shout out to Des and Lynn Nixon. Des was using a power saw yesterday, had an accident. He cut in a really nasty way 3 of his fingers, and literally he's about to be operated on in about 7 minutes. He's at 11 o'clock this morning. He's getting operated on. So if you can please remember Des and Lynn Nixon in your prayers, that would be really, really awesome. I can remember years ago reading the Stephen Covey book called 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And Covey tells a story in that book of being in a train carriage. And in the train carriage, there was a young father, and he had a couple of children. And the children were really running amok in the carriage, and they were being loud, and people were sitting there. They were trying to read their newspapers. They were trying to be really private. And the kids were running around. They were even bumping into people. And Covey says the tension in the carriage became palpable. Like people were feeling it, and all eyes were on this father. Like, why don't you do something? So finally, Covey kind of cleared his throat and said to the young dad, do you think you should do something about your children? And he said it was like the man kind of snapped out of a daze or a haze, because his mind was 100 miles away. And he said, I guess I should. He said, we've just come from the hospital where we've been told that their mother is dying. Now, with that one little bit of information, Covey's perspective transformed entirely. He now could see what he previously could not see. He was able to understand something, and his perspective had completely shifted. Now, instead of looking what was happening in the carriage with anger and frustration at the father, he was now looking around the carriage, and he was watching other people be really stressed and frustrated with this man and his children. And Covey was beginning to feel frustrated with them. It was like, if you knew what I know, if you would then see this scenario from a completely different perspective. Now, it feels to me like the world right now is off balance. Most of us are working from our homes, not everybody, but it's likely you're working from home. If you've got small children, you may well be doing homeschooling right now. If you're an essential services worker, you may well feel like you are now on the front line in a way that you haven't necessarily felt like you've been kind of on that same front line before. And I guess I want to ask us a question today, and it's this fairly simple question. How are you seeing your current circumstance? What kind of grid are you seeing your world through? What's your perspective on this whole scenario right now? Because we all are seeing our world through an angle. We're seeing it from an angle or through a lens, and it really does affect everything. Now, the Bible repeatedly kind of goes into this zone. Now, I want to illustrate it to us today. And really, the challenge that's going to come to us today is going to be a moment of self-reflection. Like, what is the grid through which I see my current circumstance? Look at this one. Jesus has just, he's with his disciples. He's asked them, who do people say that I am? And the Apostle Peter has made that incredible profession of faith in Matthew chapter 16, where he says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon. You know, it wasn't flesh and blood that revealed that to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Now, Jesus went on to explain to them how he was about to go to Jerusalem, and he was going to be handed over to the hands of the authorities, and he was going to be crucified. Now, that did not fit with Peter's perspective. The grid through which he was seeing the coming of the Messiah wasn't that it was going to end up on a cross being killed. He was looking for a Messiah who was going to be a political leader. He was looking for a Messiah who was going to liberate the Jewish people from the Roman oppression that they were currently under. And so he says to Jesus, he says, no, that's not the way it's going to be. You're not to do it that way. And Jesus, look how Jesus responds to Peter. Now, the first half of this people tend to know pretty well, where Jesus says, get away from me, Satan. You're a dangerous trap to me. Effectively, I'd like to put it to you this way, that the evil one was so affecting Peter's perspective. It was like he'd step between Peter and Jesus. So Jesus is dealing with something spiritually and spatially. Get behind me, Satan. Then he says this to Peter. He says, you are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's. Peter had a perspective, and it was a perspective that Jesus needed to challenge. He said, Peter, you've got a human grid that's happening here. You haven't got God's grid taking place. And this really is the seminal thought I'm wanting to bring to us today. Through what grid are you seeing what's taking place around us right now? Here's another situation. This one's from Mark chapter 2. House is all packed out. There's a whole lot of people crowded around Jesus, and there's a group of men who've brought their paralyzed mate, and they can't find their way in. So it says here they couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd. So they dug a hole through the roof above Jesus' head. When they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus, seeing their faith. Now, I don't know about you, but if that was my home and all of a sudden some guys are like ripping off the tiles and they're knocking a hole through the plaster ceiling, I would see the hole in the ceiling. If that was Phil and Jenny's place, you know, they might see the hole in the ceiling being created, but Jesus sees their faith. His perspective on the scenario that's unfolding, he sees a group of men's faith. It's a different lens that he comes at it through. Now, the Apostle Peter gives this type of encouragement in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Now, anything that I should have said this at the start, if it's in yellow, in your home, in your lounge room, or wherever you are, I want you to read it out loud with me, okay? So come on, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. If it's in yellow, you're on as well as me. So let's read it together. It says, so we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Okay, pause there. We don't look at the troubles that we see now. Now, it's not that the Bible's trying to suggest to us that we're going to have, like, turn a blind eye to our hardships. It's not as if, you know, we're going to ignore the fact, for those of you who have become unemployed, it's not like you're going to turn a blind eye to that. For those of you, your working situation has been altered. It's not as if for those of you who are feeling threatened, and I know while Australia is incredibly blessed right now, Australia, for this entire pandemic, Australia has seen 80 people lose their life. Every one of those lives is a tragic loss. But that is not even 10% of the loss of one day in countries like the United States or Great Britain or Italy or Spain or some other countries as well, let alone some of the nations that are coming on stream now that don't have the sort of social spacing capacity, that aren't developed nations. They are developing economies. And already they're saying globally, 200,000 people have lost their lives. So, you know, we can see through a grid. Now, for those who are watching from Australia, you know, what sort of grid are you bringing to this scenario? Because we are incredibly blessed. Like, oh my goodness, are we blessed to have lost 80 lives for the entire pandemic compared to the 200,000 lives that have been lost globally. And so he says, we don't look at the troubles. And I just want to ask you, where is your gaze fixed? Now, some of you are doing schooling from home right now. I had one young parent say to me this week, they said, it's like 2 or 3 hours of corralling to try and get 20 minutes of schooling to take place in the home. And oh my goodness, for those of you who are young families who are needing to do that and you're not trained teachers, you have my heart. My kids are growing up. I've repeatedly thanked God for that right now. But where is your gaze? For those of you who are saying, My business is shut down right now and I'm not sure how it's going to go, where is your gaze fixed? Because troubles are like a magnet. There's a gravitational pull from our attention into the zone of our troubles. But the Bible here says we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, now read it with me, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. We fix our gaze on the things that cannot be seen. Now, we've got an encouragement here from the Bible to see that which is unseen. That's the way I call this message, seeing the unseen. That is, to bring a perspective into our current circumstances that is beyond what the natural eyes can see. That is, to bring a perspective that only spiritual eyes can see, that capacity to be able to see the unseen. And so we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. So rather than the gravitational pull being towards our problems, we're talking here about a gravitational pull towards the unseen. And there's a little bit of clarity that comes around it. For the things that we see now will soon be gone, but say it with me, the things we cannot see will last forever. So there's an eternal perspective that's being brought here. These are the very next verses. That's why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Now say it with me. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. Have you even processed the grid that our present troubles, see, this is not denying that there aren't challenges right now. There are real challenges. For our present troubles are small and they won't last very long. It's been really sobering for me to chat with some senior citizens and to hear them kind of reflecting back into the Second World War zone and some others, some business people who reflected back into the 80s when there was a big recession in Australia. Many more would remember 2008, the GFC, the global financial crisis. And that sense of, for some, we're going around the block again. It's different this time, but we've been here before. And we realize, look, there is a lag effect to these things, but it's not going to last very long. Certainly not going to last very long in the context of eternity. And here is our challenge. To see our present troubles with spiritual eyes. Effectively to say, God, what are you doing in the midst of this? And I love the way it says, these troubles produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them, and what's more, will last forever. Have you even thought about that? That right now, God is doing something inside you. In the context of our challenges, in the context of our troubles, God is doing something inside of us, which is actually storing up some type of eternal glory that will last forever. That's a different perspective, isn't it? If you know your Bible much, you might know in the back edge of Acts chapter 7, we read about the first Christian martyr. His name was Stephen. And when he was killed at the start of Acts chapter 8, it speaks about the church then, which previously was all centralized in Jerusalem. They would meet centrally at the temple. They would meet in their homes as well, but it was a centralized church in the city of Jerusalem. And with that very first outbreak of persecution, it was like taking a big rock and throwing it into a puddle because the believers were scattered everywhere. Throughout that whole region of the world, the believers were scattered. That which was a terrible scenario, the first Christian martyr led to the greatest expansion of the gospel that they, to that point, had ever seen. Because where everyone went, they carried the testimony of Jesus. That is a different grid, isn't it? Their troubles led to an eternal weight of glory. Right now, the church is scattered. We're not gathered here like we would normally be gathered here, and I don't even know where you're watching this from around the world. And some of you are watching on YouTube and some are on Facebook Live right now, and I watched last week as people checked in. They're watching from Brazil and the Philippines, just all around the world. People are tuned in. And we're all having a distinct experience right now of COVID-19 as well. But I want you to know, God is doing something. I want you to see our current circumstance with spiritual eyes. Don't allow that gravitational pull or that magnetic pull of the troubles cause our focus to be on the troubles. Let's look at our circumstance right now with spiritual eyes. Let's see that God is doing something absolutely amazing. Because if we're going to see the unseen, you need to have an eternal perspective. We need to see what's taking place right now through a much, much bigger grid. In the New International Version, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says this. It says, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." Assurance about what we do not see. Now, as far as having confidence about things we hope for and assurance about that which we do not see yet, it comes back to a confidence in God. That is what faith is. It's about having trust in Him. So, because I've got a narrative with God, I'm a frequent flyer with God. I hope you are too. In other words, day by day, your trust in Jesus, the way you choose to step out and live out your faith, you have developed a narrative about that. And what it does, it gives you confidence about the future. So rather than the void of the future being filled with the most dire and negative thoughts, no, I would rather fill the future with thoughts that are full of hope. I'd rather fill my future with thoughts that are full of confidence in God. I'd rather fill my future in saying, I realize God is doing something right now. He's doing something in you right now. Please acknowledge that. In your home, in your character, in your person, in your placement, in your street. Yesterday morning, Anzac morning, we were at the end of our driveway with our candles and our neighbors across the road, multiple homes and multiple homes up this side as well. And we all listened to the last post. We all observed our minute silence. We all acknowledged one another. We listened. There was a prayer that came through our national radio as part of all of that. And I'm like, I'm standing in my street right now, and collectively, all of my neighbors are saying the same prayer. Tell me that God's not doing something in that moment. And so sure enough, during the day, the neighbors, because we've got a group text for our neighborhood, and we're all on. And sure enough, we all chose to come out into the end of our driveways again at the end of the day, 6 p.m. We all said, let's meet back out in the street this evening. Because we do that where I live, because we know and love each other. And you know, as we came out into the street outside our homes, one neighbor, Ross, if you get to see this, Ross's wife, who's really struggling right now with dementia, Ross lost his wife ever so briefly. When I say lost her, she didn't die. She walked out of the home. Ross said he was minimally distracted, and all of a sudden, she wasn't there anymore. And so Ross came out onto the street. I saw him get into his car. He pulled up. I went over and said, "Hey, you going, Ross?" And he said, "I've lost my wife right now, Barbara." And so with neighbors already out in the street, we're able to say to one another, "Ross can't find Barbara." And a search party happens spontaneously. Now tell me God wasn't involved in that. Tell me that we weren't ready. We weren't positioned as a neighborhood caring group with eyes of faith. I've got to believe that God's doing something positive in the midst of that. And sure enough, within maybe 5 or 10 minutes, we found Barbara. And then we're able to stand outside in the street for a while. We reflected at the end of the day. We encouraged one another before we went back to our own homes. Perspective. What is your perspective? Are you actually seeing right now with spiritual eyes, with eternal eyes, with eyes of faith, what God is doing? I really like this story. This comes from 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 15 to 17. And it's a story where Elisha is the prophet. It's fairly self-explanatory. Well, let me tell you what happens just before this. A whole army has come against them, the Aramean army. And the servant of Elisha comes out and he sees him. It says, when the servant of the man of God got up early the next morning and went outside, there were troops, horses, chariots everywhere. This is who have come against them. "Oh, sir, what are we going to do now?" the young man cried to Elisha. "Don't be afraid," Elisha told him. Now watch where this spiritual leader's gaze goes. You're going to do the yellow bit with me. He says, "For there are more on our side than on theirs." Then Elisha prayed, say it with me, "O Lord, open his eyes and let him see." Lord, open his eyes and let him see. You might want to say that prayer in your lounge room and personalize it. God, open my eyes and let me see. And watch what happened. The Lord opened the young man's eyes. And when he looked up, he saw the hillside around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire. Certainly, as Elisha had said, hey, the number who are for us are far greater than those who are against us. You know, for some people, it only takes one person to be against them for them to feel like the whole world is against them. If you're ever going to be involved in leadership at any level, you have to come to terms with the fact if you're going to lead anything, opposition will be part of the grid. If you're going to implement change, if you're going to lead people forward at work, in whatever environment you're doing, in your home responsibilities, you will face opposition. There will be a little person who eyeballs you and says, no. And for some, it can just feel like the whole world's against them at that point. And Lord, open their eyes. Lord, open my eyes so that I can see greater the number who are for me than those who are against me. So if you're going to see the unseen, you need to have a spiritual perspective. You need to start to see the world with spiritual eyes. That is, eyes of faith. Eyes that factor in what God's doing through this whole scenario. In Ephesians chapter 6, it says, we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. And that actually feels pretty true right now, doesn't it, with coronavirus? It's not a flesh and blood enemy, it's this invisible enemy. But the Apostle Paul here is speaking about spiritual forces. He says, but we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but against evil rulers and authorities, say it with me, of the unseen world. Our struggle, it's not a flesh and blood struggle, but there's these powers and principalities against mighty powers in this dark world and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Now, I don't know where you're at in your own spiritual journey. And you might say, oh, for goodness sake, you know, all of a sudden you start to speak about evil spirits and all that sort of stuff, like in this unseen world. Well, I just want to say to you, the Bible affirms not only the reality of God and he is real, it also affirms the reality of Satan or the devil and he is real, and a whole lot of kind of cronies who are with him and around him in the midst of all of that. The Bible says there is an unseen world that you are part of. And that's actually where our battle is. Our battle isn't with people. Our battle isn't with flesh and blood. We need to have a different perspective in the way that we face things. So I want us to kind of consider this. Is it possible to improve the capacity to see the unseen? And the answer to that is definitely yes. Definitely yes. Jesus was quoting the prophet Isaiah when he put it this way. He said, this fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah that says, when you hear what I say, you'll not understand. When you see what I do, you will not comprehend. Now say it with me. For the hearts of these people are hardened, and their eyes cannot hear, and they have closed their eyes. Sorry, their ears. I read it wrong. Their ears cannot hear, and they've closed their eyes. So their eyes cannot see, and their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. Quoting from Isaiah chapter 6 there. In other words, there is a condition of the heart. This is where he begins. The hearts of these people are hardened. A hardened heart towards God will dim your capacity to see the unseen. And it's at the point where we humble ourselves in the presence of God. It's at that point where we exercise faith with a soft heart, with an open heart, and we say, God, what are you doing in this situation? And it's effectively, we invite God into our perspective. And with soft hearts, we begin to see and we begin to hear. I love what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount at one point. He said, blessed are the pure of heart, for they will see God, not only as a reality after they die, but in the day-to-day of their life. As you soften your heart towards God, as you open yourself up towards him, you will begin to see him in the day-to-day of your life. So we definitely can affect our capacity to see the unseen. So I guess I want to ask you a few questions. What do you see right now? What do you see right now? Are you seeing lack or are you seeing abundance? And you might say, I've lost my job. I see lack. I've lost my mobility and my relationships. I see lack. And that would be a classic human perspective rather than with the eyes of faith where there is a God of superabundance in every way. And I would like to demonstrate right now how we put something like that this into practice. So Crossway, like most churches, like most charities or not-for-profit sector and so many businesses, right now our finances are tighter. So prior to COVID-19, already about 75% of our giving was done online. And so that, you know, about 75% was there already. But of course, as we moved into this exclusively online platform, sure, our giving has dropped like so many environments. Now, here would be naturalize. Naturalize would be to say, we therefore have a lack. We haven't got enough. Therefore, we just need to keep what we've got to ourselves. I'd like to do the exact opposite to that. I learned this week of pastors in India who are starving, 5,700 of them through one network that we know, love and trust at Crossway. We've partnered with them repeatedly. And so while in Australia, under the guise of a health crisis, really we're having an economic and a social crisis. But in India, they're having a humanitarian crisis. And these pastors are starving. To feed 5,700 of these pastors and their families just for 3 months will cost $1.5 million. That's a lot of money. So at Crossway, we want to join with a much broader community of churches and we want to say, hey, we can do something about that. I know I can do something about that. I am not concerned about whether there's going to be food in my fridge tomorrow. I'm still able to go down to the shops and I'm still able to buy some food. But these pastors are hungry. So here's what I'm going to challenge you to do and what I'm going to encourage you to do. I want you to go to crossway.org.au and you're going to see a give capacity there. And one of those give options is called the Kingdom Fund. So what I want you to do with the Kingdom Fund, I want you to, and it's got a tax break on it. So with the Kingdom Fund, what I want you to do in the description, simply write India. And whatever gift you choose to go, you can bring a lack mindset saying, oh, I'm bunkering down. Oh, you haven't seen what happened to my superannuation, or I've lost my job and I can't spare a dollar. Or you can say, no, I believe that God's going to see me through all this. I'm not starving right now, but some of my brothers and sisters over in India are, and I want to make a contribution to feed them. Crossway.org.au, go to the Give button, and in the Kingdom Fund, write India, and you can extend your gift to there. That's just one really simple and practical way. You know, it was Jesus who said, give and it will be given to you. Press down, overflowing into your lap. And what I have discovered over the years is the more we are prepared to be generous to others, the more generous God is to us. The opportunities absolutely abound. How are you feeling right now? Here's a different angle. How do you feel right now? Stressed or calm? What kind of perspective are you bringing? Stress, if it all rests on you. Calm, if you've got that sense of, no, I've got a God in heaven who's my heavenly Father. He loves me. He'll provide for me. I can do all things through Jesus who gives me strength. I'm going to make it through this. I know how I'm choosing to face the days. I'm choosing to face the days calm. I definitely have a capacity to stress, but I'm choosing not to be stressed. What do you perceive right now? So which is your grid? Are you coming at it through a human perspective? Or are you coming at it through God's perspective? Really, seeing the unseen. So here's, as we close off today, here's the rather simple challenge. I want you to go to crossway.org.au/next-steps. crossway.org.au/next-steps. You can begin to see this scenario with spiritual eyes. Like today might be your day where you actually put your trust in Jesus. You might say, look, I've been trying to do this whole deal by myself and I'm not doing very well. My gaze is definitely fixed on my troubles. But right now you're saying, no, I'm gonna move it around. I'm actually gonna start having my focus on Jesus. I'm gonna put my trust in God. You can indicate that as your next step. Your next step might be to say, I'm gonna witness to my faith by getting baptized. We are going to have a baptism Sunday in some weeks coming, and the mission of God's in your hands. You can be baptized in your own home. You can video it and send it in. We are going to be proactive. Come on, let's start taking some ground with the kingdom of God. This can be your opportunity. You know, we've already had people starting to donate computers that we're refurbishing and giving for free to support families who are trying to homeschool their kids. We've got a whole lot of food that's coming through. We have multifold increased our distribution of food. This is a day of opportunity. There are faith eyes. This is a day of provision. They are faith eyes. This is a day where the kingdom of God can advance. That is a faith perspective, and it can all happen in your heart. It can all happen in your home, and it can happen in your street. The mission of God is in your hands. God is calling you. Let him who has eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit says to the church. Would you please pray with me right now? So our Father in heaven, thank you so much for your incredible goodness. Thank you that indeed you do love us. Thank you that you grace us with the capacity to see the unseen, to bring a different perspective on things, maybe than our natural perspective. And Father, right now, I want to pray for each person who is with us right now. Every home, every scenario that people are facing, those who are concerned for their health, who are concerned for their finances, who are concerned for the dynamics of their relationships. Father, I want to pray right now for those who are struggling with their sense of well-being. God, by your grace, we want to believe for you to come to every home, to come to every heart, to mobilize us in every street, and may there be a great advance for the glory and honor of your name. We pray your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do it in our hearts. Do it in our lives, our homes, through us into our streets, for the glory and honor of your name. God bless you. It's been great to be with you today.